more, you're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh, I'm more, you're the best of protectors, so protect me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Blessed Names of Allah عز وجل And as you know, in each episode we endeavor to cover a name or more than one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these majestic names of Allah azza wa jal, subhanallah, when a believer mentions them, when a believer discusses them, hears about them, then this revives his faith. This subhanallah leads to an increase in faith. Why? Because we're hearing about our merciful Lord, Allah azza wa jal. So inshallah, in this episode too, we will hear about a few names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first being Al-Hafidh, Ha, Fa, Ya, and Dha, Hafidh. This is a name of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it literally means the one who protects, the one who grants protection. And as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that He Jalla Jalaluhu, He protects everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects every single thing, whether that's human beings or non-humans. And the different things that are found within a human being as well, the different organs, his heart, his eyes, ears, all of these different faculties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects them. So, first of all, Imam Abu al-Qasim Qushayri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he defines Hafidh in his book, Sharhu Asma'il Husna. And he says, وَهُوَ حَافِظٌ بِعِبَادِهِ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَهْوَالِ Hafidh is the one who protects his slaves in all states. And not only humans, and not only his slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the heavens as well. Allah jalla wa ala says in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, verse 255, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh, his kursi, this is more vast than the heavens and the earth. And later on in the same ayah, Ayatul Kursi, he says, وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا That preserving, protecting them, the heavens and the earth, this does not tire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in no way, shape or form. Human beings, we get tired. Other creations, they get tired. We suffer from fatigue. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing tires him. He is the one who never feels any fatigue or tiredness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who keeps the heavens and the earth in their ordained place. He keeps the heavens from falling, they're suspended, and the earth is in its place as well. Allah Jalla wa Ala says in Surah Fatir, verse 41, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has stopped, prevented the heavens and the earth from moving. أَن تَزُولَ So they don't move from their place. Like this, in the Quran, we'll find many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, grants protection to things. The Quran itself, Allah Jalla wa ala is protecting it, is preserving it. In Surah Al-Hijr, verse 9, Allah Jalla wa ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. That indeed we revealed the dhikr, which is the Quran, and we are the ones who preserve it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who preserves the Qur'an. In this regard, one should know that the Qur'an is exclusive in being preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The previous scriptures, the Torah Sharif, the Injil Sharif, the previous scriptures and books that were revealed to Anbiya alayhi salam, they were distorted, they were tampered. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not preserve them or protect them like He is protecting the Qur'an. The people changed them at will. And that's why, today, the previous scriptures, we believe in them as Allah revealed them. Any tamperings, any distortions, additions that were not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the previous scriptures, the responsibility of protecting them was given to the ummah itself. But as for our ummah, the blessed ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this great responsibility has not been given to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah jalla wa ala is the one who protects the Quran from being tampered. And this will never happen until the day of judgment, inshallah. So more than 1400 years have passed. You can't even change a single letter, a diacritical mark, nothing. And somebody who attempts to do this will be exposed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserving his divine speech. So Allah is Hafiz, and being Hafiz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even protects his pious servants. The awliya, rahimahumullahum ta'ala. Allah jalla wa ala protects and preserves their aqeedah. They don't fall into deviancy. They don't fall into heresy or any such thing like that. They are always on the straight path because of their love, devotion towards their creator Allah azza wa jal. Allah ta'ala saves them from satanic whispers as well. Allah saves them from the attacks of shaitan. And the ulama have said, subhanAllah, a very beautiful point, that when a slave, when a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal preserves the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he protects his body parts from sin, his eyes, his ears, his other body parts. He follows the commands of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him from all harm and difficulty, hardship. Why? Because he has protected the rights of Allah. He has protected his a'za, his limbs from sinning and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In return, he is blessed with divine protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from wrongdoings. Allahu Akbar. Listen to a few accounts in this regard. It's mentioned regarding Sayyidatuna Rabi'a Basriya rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha, who is a very high ranking saint. She reached very high levels of wilaya. She would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night and protect herself from sins. It's written regarding her that one night, sleep overcame her. So she fell asleep. And at that time, a thief, a robber, entered her home. And whatever he found of any goods or possessions, it was very little anyway, he gathered it and he was about to leave the house, having robbed it. But what did he see? Allahu Akbar, that the door that he came through is no longer there. So he placed the items back, the possessions that he was about to steal. When he did so, the door appeared again. Allahu Akbar. He once again picked up those goods with the intention of stealing them. And what happened? The door disappeared again. And a voice from the unseen was heard, leave the goods. فَإِنَّا نَحْفَظُهَا لَهَا. For indeed we are protecting those goods for her. وَلَا نَدْعُكَ تَحْمِلُهَا. And we will not just allow you to leave with them. We will not leave you alone. Meaning, we will not allow you to freely pick her stuff up and steal them and go away. No. وَإِن كَانَتْ هِيَ نَائِمَةً. Even though she is asleep. Allahu Akbar. Look at the divine protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his obedient servants. This was a story of Sayyidatuna Rabi'a Basriya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So what do we learn from this account? You protect your body parts from sinning and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the unseen you will be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no doubt Sayyidatuna Rabi'a Basriya was an exceptional, amazing individual who spent her life in obedience to Allah, not misusing her eyes, her ears, other limbs. And anyone who does so today, inshallah, as well. You protect your eyes. You only look at what Allah has allowed. You save your eyes from what Allah has prohibited. You use your ears for righteous actions. You save them from sinning. Any other body part, you only use it to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With your hands, you give sadaqah. You don't steal, you don't do bad things. And inshallah, Allah ta'ala will help you. Allah ta'ala's divine protection will be bestowed upon you. Subhanallah. So, to gain the protection of Allah, we realize that taqwa is very important. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Staying away from his prohibitions, inshallah. And in regards to taqwa, the ulama have said that there are three levels, darajat. And all Muslims fall into the lowest level of taqwa, which is that due to the blessings of embracing faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, they will enter Jannah, they will be saved from the fire of hell because of their iman. But if they were sinners, then as we know, some people from the believers will actually taste punishment for their sins and then eventually enter paradise. So this is the lowest level of taqwa. All believers have this. The second level of taqwa is when a believer strives and makes efforts to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He saves himself from the prohibitions. He adopts piety throughout his life. He is successful in the worldly life at the time of death, the time of questioning in the grave, in the akhirah as well. This person will be blessed, subhanallah. He won't even be punished. So this is the middle level of taqwa. And the second level, Allah Jalla wa Ala alludes to in the Quran when he says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. In Surah Ibrahim verse 27, that Allah made those who believed steadfast with al-qawli thabit. Here, the ulama say al-qawli thabit means the kalima of tawheed, believing in the oneness of Allah, monotheism. Fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. In this worldly life and then in the akhirah as well, he remained on monotheism. He remained believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the stages that I've mentioned, in this life, in the grave, in the akhirah. Such people, subhanAllah, will enter paradise without being punished. Why? Because they've spent their life in obedience. They haven't sinned. And the third level of taqwa, this belongs to the elite, the awliyaullah. And this level is, subhanAllah, so unique to them that not even for a moment do they allow a thought to enter their heart that makes them heedless of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have God consciousness all the time. Any thought that enters their mind is regarding their creator Allah Azza wa Jal. They're consistently remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're thinking about the Quran. They're thinking about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They're thinking about the greatness of the last messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we read the biographies of the awliya Allah, we find that this was exactly the case. They didn't have time for frivolous things, for useless, futile actions, no. And we need to avoid these things as well if we are to succeed. I mean, to take a page out of their book. SubhanAllah, the awliya Allah spend their entire days and nights engrossed in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we just described what this entails. Remembering the Quran, reading the Quran, pondering over the Quran, the hadith sharif. SubhanAllah, these are things that the awliya Allah do all the time, and they reach the highest level of taqwa. So taqwa, what do we learn? Becomes a means of gaining protection. Piety. If you want to be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must adopt piety. And in the Quran, there is a beautiful account in this regard of how piety led to protection. We know the famous account of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, that in his time, prior to him even being born, Pharaoh was such a cruel person that he would kill any newborn baby boy, he would have them killed. Why? There's a whole story behind it. The fortune teller said, your kingdom is about to be dismantled, someone else will come, etc., etc. The Quran mentions all of this. So the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, obviously she was very fearful about this situation. She gave birth to a boy. What's going to happen? Pharaoh will get him killed, ma'adallah. Allah Ta'ala inspired her with something, to do something. The Quran mentions, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ, that we inspired Umme Musa, the mother of Musa, to give milk to the child. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, and when you're fearful about him, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ, then you place him into the water. And after mentioning the whole account, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ, that indeed we will return him to you. And Musa alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, even though people found out later on. The mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, a very pious lady, look how Allah Ta'ala granted protection to her child. Subhanallah. That Pharaoh would have every newborn baby killed, but Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was saved. And then he was brought up in the palace, in the house of Fir'aun himself. Allahu Akbar. Look at the hidden plan of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And then Musa alayhi salam would be the cause of Fir'aun losing everything. Subhanallah. And look at our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Allah Jalla wa Ala protected him. It's night time. The people of Quraysh are surrounding his house. They ma'adallah after his blood. They want to assassinate him. He's calling towards the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, towards Islam. But they don't like it. And they're bloodthirsty. They've got swords in their hands, a person from each tribe. And when he threw that, they could not see anything. Everything became blurry. They did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go past them, even though they were large in number. Allahu Akbar. This is the divine protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Ghar Thawr, the cave of Thawr, with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. And there he spent 3 nights. And the whole story about how the bird made the nest, the spider cast its web. So this was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the enemy saw that cave and they thought, there's a bird here with its nest, there's a spider web. If somebody went in there, this wouldn't be the case. The birds wouldn't have stayed. The spider web wouldn't have been there. But this was the protection granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do we learn? What's the moral? Somebody who upholds the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody who obeys Allah jalla wa ala wholeheartedly, then what is the reward? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave that person. He doesn't abandon him. He doesn't forsake him. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most definitely helps that person. So this was the name Hafiz. As for the name Muqeed, briefly we'll discuss that. Meem, Qaf, Yata. Some scholars say that this means protection just like Hafiz. Other scholars say, no, this means Muqtadir, the one who has power over everything. Other scholars have said that this means that being who provides rizq for people according to their need. So he provides at least that much sustenance, rizq to people that is sufficient for them, that suffices them. And this is what is mentioned in the Quran as well, Surah Hud, verse 6, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There's nothing on the earth except that its rizq is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah jalla wa ala takes care of people's needs. It is upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them rizq. And here, in terms of rizq, we sometimes think it only refers to food and drink. No. Rizq has a vast meaning. Aql, intellect, possessing an intellect, intelligence, this is a great rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wealth, of course, is referred to as rizq as well. The greatest rizq is having a sound intellect, being very intelligent. Iman is the greatest rizq. Iman, without which you cannot even enter paradise. So Al-Muqeet, Allah Ta'ala grants rizq to people, at least that much that suffices them. So what do we learn from these beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal? When we mention them in dua for that particular purpose, so we know Muqeet is related to rizq, then Allah will grant us rizq. And this is more beloved, a more beloved way, a more better way of calling out to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and asking from His blessed court. So when we ask for rizq, whether it's to do with intellect, whether it's to do with health, wealth, an increase in iman, etc., say, Ya Muqeetu, oh, the one who grants rizq to people, inshallah, our du'as would be readily accepted. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us all the blessings of His noble names. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, You're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh Allah, You're the best of protectors, so protect.